We must strive to accomplish complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. It's for that reason we should cultivate the altruistic motivation or bodhicitta motivation. With that kind of motivation, we should all participate in this teaching. I believe that all of us are seeking complete enlightened state we call Buddhahood for the benefit of both self and others. In this regard, it is, I think, important for us to understand what is complete enlightened state that we are seeking. Complete enlightened state or Buddhahood is a state that is absolutely free of all kinds of mental defilements and obscuration, including what we call delusions or deluded states of mind. In other words, that in order to internalize complete enlightened state, not only do we have to get rid of the two types of mental obscuration, obscuration to nirvana or personal freedom from samsara, and obscuration to omniscient knowledge or wisdom, but we also need to purify our mind even of the predispositions or the latencies or the seeds deposited by these obscurations on our mind. So complete enlightened state is a state which is absolutely free of and pure of all kinds of mental obscurations along with their seeds. Now, with what kind of motivation, do we seek a complete enlightened state of Buddhahood is really not you know, out of a selfish interest. That is to say that, you know, we don't bring the, like the, so much of an I or the self into the picture. It's not like, you know, I want to be happy, I want to be peaceful, I want to be, you know, successful. That kind of selfish motive is, you know, not part of our motivation and should not be to seek a complete enlightened state.
That's Sanjay's compounding. Ane rāngli yenbe sēngjē dātā nyēntā parma Tsamala tā shūrī mēpā Tēdā tsamala dīnyi pākyātī kēpā nē Tōwa shē nē Sāngjē kōmpā nē kōyō gō sāmbi tā sāmbā tēnē hiu kīmbu kīk shē nē Tē tō tāne nē rāng Sāngjē kōmpā tēndu nye gu yōrēs.
So with what kind of motivation do we seek complete enlightened state, or should we seek complete enlightened state, if you ask? You know, we develop what is called the altruistic motivation, seeking all sentient beings, regardless of whether they have been our friends, or they have been our enemies, or strangers. So we, you know, get rid of any biases and prejudices towards sentient beings, and we wish all sentient beings to be free from the two types of mental obscuration, obscuration to nirvana and obscuration to omniscient wisdom. That means we wish all beings to be free from the two types of mental obscuration along with their seeds, and we all want them to be in the complete enlightened state. With that kind of altruism, with that kind of a bodhicitta motivation, that we pursue complete enlightenment as our ultimate spiritual goal.
Yes.
Now, if we ask, like, okay, if we don't pursue complete enlightened state, does that mean that we cannot really help or do anything for other sentient beings? Well, the answer is no. Without seeking complete enlightenment, we could still, I mean, help and benefit in others.
Sanjay, confirm. So,
So it is not that until we become completely enlightened beings or Buddhas that we cannot benefit or help sentient beings. As we are, you know, in the process or on the path leading to a complete enlightened state, while we are on the path or in the process, we could still, you know, benefit and help sentient beings.
Satalam, ta satyatalam ngale, nengi kishanji sambatizokete, singi jitembe.
Bodhisattvas on the five spiritual paths, from the path of accumulation to the path of no more learning, in the footnote. And within these paths, you know, we posit 10 spiritual levels of the grounds of bodhisattvas called Dashabhumi. So bodhisattvas on all these different spiritual grounds and the paths, they are not yet Buddhas or complete enlightened beings, but they are completely dedicated, you know, for the happiness and the betterment of other sentient beings, and they are tremendously benefiting, you know, sentient beings. Of course, it's not only the bodhisattvas, you know, who are benefiting sentient beings. When we think of those who are on the five paths of solitary realizers or Pratika Buddhas, they are benefiting a lot of sentient beings too. And the same thing goes with those who are on the paths of hearers or Sharvaka Yan. They are also benefiting a lot of sentient beings.
Lamla Mayupe, Lama Huchi Kansa, Tinzuka, Singh Dugris.
And I mean, you know, let's keep aside those, all of them who have already entered into the spiritual paths of different yanas or vehicles. Even those who have not yet entered into any spiritual paths, they could also, and they do benefit a lot of, you know, other beings. So if, we find that those who have not yet entered into the path, or those who have entered into the path of different yanas or vehicles, are all benefiting sentient beings, then we might say, why do we really need to pursue a complete enlightened state as our goal? The answer to that question is, you know, once we become a complete enlightened person called Buddha, then we are most capable of helping sentient beings in the greatest possible ways and help them to realize their enlightenment.
Sanje chamdi dina jen sanje jitang du sanne bemil hundu ji gon du yer ta ti sanje sa ma ji pa di sanje jitang du yer de ni ba yom mari.
Buddhas and enlightened beings could spontaneously and effortlessly benefit sentient beings, and others who are below the level of complete enlightened state, they are not necessarily capable of effortlessly and spontaneously benefiting sentient beings, just like the Buddhas. A complete enlightened person or Buddha can, within a split of a second, emanate, many emanations of himself or herself to benefit millions and millions of sentient beings, simultaneously. So such a capability is not there. Even with bodhisattvas on the spiritual grounds, bodhisattvas do benefit tremendously sentient beings in their own ways, but they do not have the same capability as Buddhas do to benefit sentient beings effortlessly and spontaneously, to send so many emanations within a split of a second to benefit
innumerable sentient beings. Sanjay kumbha thobi yinna, ta tindik nubhata dhenpa chi yunguya. Sonsa, ranzu sanjay kumbha dhenpa nyeyate, ta junsik tindik chire, chenpa chire.
So the reasons why we pursue complete enlightened state for the benefit of other sentient beings is just because all sentient beings have been extremely kind to us. And we have that connection with sentient beings, and we need to repair their kindness. And the best way to repair their kindness is only if we could help sentient beings to be free from the two types of mental obscuration along with their seeds and become complete enlightened beings. And so to do that, so we see the necessity for us to become completely enlightened beings so that we have fullest capabilities to fulfill our vision or the dream, that is to say, to establish other sentient beings in the complete enlightened state. So with those reasons, we pursue complete enlightenment or Buddhahood as our ultimate spiritual goal.
Lam thakhi ni bote ranjir shay gugar.
if those are the reasons why we pursue complete enlightened state, now what are the main paths or the practices or the techniques with which you know, we can realize complete enlightened state, if you ask? Now the paths you know, involve integrating what is known as a skillful means or a method, upaya, and wisdom or jnana. So with the integrated path of method and wisdom, we are able to realize complete enlightened state for the benefit of sentient beings. So when we say that we need to cultivate the integrated path of skillful means or method and wisdom to reach complete enlightened state, what do we exactly mean by method and wisdom? Because we are talking about two things here, we need to be brought together or integrated. Skillful means or methods, or upaya in Sanskrit, or tap in Tibetan, it involves many things, and some of the most important skillful means are to cultivate great compassion, or mahakaruna, and to cultivate bodhicitta, or the altruism, altruistic mind of enlightenment. So these are the primary, if you will, skillful means or the methods that we must cultivate to reach Buddhahood. Now by wisdom, of course, there are many types of wisdom. The primary wisdom that we are talking about here is the wisdom that perceives and experiences emptiness as it is. Emptiness, or shunyata, or sunata, or tongbanyi in Tibetan, the ultimate nature of all phenomena. So we need to combine or integrate you know, great compassion, bodhicitta, with the wisdom realizing emptiness, and this is the integrated path with which we can realize complete enlightened state.
Mm-hmm.
So we just talked about the need to cultivate both methods and wisdom together. You know, the need to cultivate great compassion, bodhicitta, and integrate them with the wisdom gone beyond, or the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is. Now we could ask the questions, you know, so what are these, you know, methods and wisdoms grounded in, if you will? What is the foundation, if you will, for all of these methods and wisdom, you ask? Now the foundation consists of what we call realities or the truth. We often talk about Four Noble Truths or the Two Truths. When we talk about the Two Truths, we are talking about conventional truth or Kunsab Dhamma in Tibetan, Samvitte Satya in Sanskrit, conventional truth, and then there is what we call ultimate truth or absolute truth, which in Tibetan is called Jandam Dhamma, and in Sanskrit called Paramartha Satya. So, you know, based upon these dual truths, conventional truth and ultimate truth, we can speak about the structure of the path leading to complete enlightened state. So that means we have to educate ourselves, you know, in the matters of the two truths. conventional truth and ultimate truth, because they provide the foundations for our structure of the paths leading to complete enlightened state. And now there are other things, you know, before, so which means, now how do we really enter into the Buddhist, you know, practices or the Buddhist paths, as a matter of fact, if you ask. So at a sort of a preliminary level, if you will, mundo, or preparatory, you know, practice, we have to seek refuge or go for refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, the three ratnas. That is a bit more basic foundation without which, you know, we cannot enter into Buddhist paths.
Rangi tanda kyuwa tanda chamalo, do tang ma kikwa rima to ya, sangka kikwa samna, ma aga lam ni shun te shebe na, tiri ra gugu ayo sam, sangka yuwa ra, chetsa ti, nga pa za gugu ra, tanda ngay tanda kyuwa na yi ke, ji denpa ni lam tashi ni, dribu ku sum, tanda usi ni, ya ro gugu ra ma to, ma li yi na, ti tanda ki jolam, jolam do re te yi na ya, kon ro tanki yuwa ra si, ina tanda ngay kyuwa tanda, lam tanda rangi la ma sheba, Sanjiji Kompa Thapa Tan Dohanyika Lul Mavris.
So the things that I have highlighted and briefly explained now are, you know, necessary, you know, for both, if you will, Sutrayana or Sutra paths and Tantric paths. Because some people might have this idea, like, or maybe I heard that Tantra is a very speedy path and profound path. Maybe I can skip, you know, a number of those things and kind of go roundabout or go from somewhere else into Tantric path. That is not the case. Because whether we want to follow the paths of Sutrayana, Sutra vehicle, or Tantrayana or Tantric vehicle, we have to understand the realities at a ground level, if you will. We have to understand and realize the two truths, conventional truth and ultimate truth. We have to practice methods and wisdoms together. And we have to, through this integrated path, what we eventually realize are the enlightened bodies. So sometimes we talk about three enlightened bodies or three kayas. And all of these things are not something exclusive to the Sutrayana path, because these things are related to both Tantric and Sutrayana paths.
Lam rangi she go with some machine na ya and in jolam she ne te no sa me bding pe chuis.
Let me give an example of how, you know, it is not possible for us to find some kind of a shortcut or a sneaky way to enlightenment, skipping all the other necessary paths. Without cultivating, you know, the necessary paths and practices, is there a way or possible to sneak, so to speak, from the back door and then, you know, zoom, you know, to the, trip to the enlightened state? It is not possible. Let me give an example.
No, yeah. When, ta kyu yis nandik ndu, kamba tuza kyu yis nandik kyu yuwa na, toke kan yi kaya, toka toka yi le gu yuwa na, ta kenzi jun chimbyan tos kali ngogi rabas, ta libli chimbyan na, ko njogo ki le gu yuwa rabas, yina ya tosa kyu njogo yuwa na, tosa guti ya, madripa kyu pa le mdu was, na yi res.
So my example here is that let's say we think about you know, 10-storied you know, building, and maybe there are many ways to go from the ground level to the 10th to the 10th floor. Of course, so one way is, you know, we can climb up the stairs. You know, that'll take a long time, a lot of efforts, but we can get there. Which means, you know, the stairs start from the ground level and it connects to, through all the different levels, all the way to the 10th floor. So we can go that way. Or that we might decide to take the elevator up, so which will be faster, no doubt, and easier. But even if we take the elevator, there's no way that the elevator starts from the floor number 1 and then somehow skip the floor number 9 and then we get to the 10th. You know, is that a possible? It is not, because the elevator has to go through floor number 9 to go to the floor number 10. Okay? So nothing can be skipped, even in the elevator, although it is a very fast and easy way to go up.
Jolam de kandir ese na shanju ji sem ta anten zo ne pe ta shu chimbo aten de king to ne ne ta ane nga ga lam ten ne lam ten ta shanju ji sem da tongi to bishire ni bta shu chimbo hibish gu ga re lam ren gna la nga ga jolam ten ne shanju ji sem na ten shu ba yis ka na do
People who sometimes hold a kind of an idea or a notion that I want to take right from the beginning, tantric path, which is kind of a built, if you will, or, you know, advertised, so to speak, as like a quick and speedy and path to go to enlightened state. So they think that they can skip so many other things, and as if the tantric path has some kind of a magic, it has no structure, but you take on it and you have a swift ride to the enlightened state. That is not the case. Tantra has a structure of a path that we need to follow. It is not a chaotic or orderless path, and some kind of irrational logic comes through, and then you boom into the enlightened state. It that's not the case. And as a matter of fact, the effectiveness of the tantra owes so much to the power of bodhicitta, altruism, and the wisdom gone beyond, the wisdom realizing emptiness. So those who really are, if you will, fit to practice tantra, take the quick, speedy path, are those who have generated very strong bodhicitta and strong wisdom realizing emptiness as it is. So with the power of this intense bodhicitta and the wisdom gone beyond, if they take the structure of the tantric path, then they can really go fast, you know, to the complete enlightened state. As it is stated in the Lamrim treatises, Lamrim is a Tibetan term which means stages of the path. You know, it is mentioned very clearly that the speediness of the tantric path owes so much to the power of bodhicitta. I get some feedback, sound noise.
And that indeed is the thing that the Yinga Alita, Malta, Lamta, Doi, Lam, Yinga, and those in the Tangra, Jin Rogu, your attack, Toma, the any Tangi Cuban Nayaka, and eh, around to type a compact in Yego, Sonsa, and eh, Taba turned in Yanka, Kansat and Zugani, Tambo, Kacha, Karas, and any conjunction of Shelson to a Shandu, the Kacha, but his Kana, a Shandu Dunch by Sondova, Sanjay Kyot again did the Tabandova and ships.
So all of us who are seeking liberation or tarba, which could be translated as liberation or enlightenment, where do we begin our spiritual path, if you ask, is we all need to begin with the practice of seeking refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. And through the refuge practice, and with the guidance of the three jewels, if you will, that we are able to enter into the spiritual path and pursue, liberation or enlightenment. As Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, which comes from 70 stanzas on the refuge practice called Kyamdo Tsinchoba in Tibetan, where it said that Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, Sanje Chöda Kindin, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha are the, objects of refuge for those who aspire liberation or enlightenment. Now I'm using both words to translate one Tibetan term called Tarba.
Hola, Sonja Ta, Tinja Ta, Sanje Chöda Kindin, Ali, Re, Ta Shangu Tele, Jin Shangu Tan, Rebu Shangu, Jushab Tan, Reshesu, Nyin Dosin, Pasan Shiyur, Sam Tangulis.
The practice of refuge can be very vast and profound. You know, if we look at the practice of refuge, we can talk about, refuge at the causal level. causal as in cause and effect. And we can talk about what we call resultant refuge. So we can talk about causal refuge and resultant refuge.
That gene shape se tanda ngaran chu pen der so se ne so se ge ne shape chu sa ge tanda sanji da chu de gendu de ne ji shape se ge res.
Causal refuge involves Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, in whom we take refuge now. In other words, to have those who have already become Buddhas, or the you know, internalized Dharma, or who are the realized Sangha members, we seek refuge in them, so they constitute our causal refuge.
Then Dreshap Siyate, Tanda Ngaransu, Ani Dreshap Sanji the Chute Gindu Lishandru Siyane, Mamupana, Ran Sanji Tan, Sanji the Chute Gindu Jita, Chajyo Res. Shani Kundu, Shabsu Kundu Jita Ran Chajyo Res. Di Ranke Dreshap Siyate, Ngati Chamal Te Chajyo Res. Ngati Chamal Nima Ji Sanji Gure. Ani Chue Lontoku Chute Chamal Ranjil Siyate Gure. Atakana Yita Gindu Kunchu Ran Regiyo Res. Somsa, ते मामू पने रांते सांचे देखे ते गेंदू कुंचू रहयते तन रेबिशब्स.
So the resultant refuge refers to what we ourselves will eventually accomplish. That is to say that right now we go for refuge in those who have already become Buddhas or internalized the Dharma or a Sangha. So as a result of doing that, eventually, we ourselves will become a Buddha, a Dharma, and Sangha. In other words, that ultimately and eventually, each of us will, you know, become an embodiment of the three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And that day will definitely come. And so which means that when that day comes, now we ourselves are, you know, Buddhas. We ourselves have internalized Dharma, and we ourselves are Sangha members. So what we will become eventually, you know, is called resultant refuge.
So that in the kandi in any ra sanji the sanji the chue kunchu the gindu kunchu that ne reji ayona samne tawa shego amaris. Maran chamal nyumachi the sanji kumba thuya te
There's no need to kind of entertain any kind of doubt, you know, like, really, is that possible that one day everybody will become a Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, you know? We really don't have to entertain any kind of doubt with regard to that. We will become, you know, triple gems eventually.
Samjuya ma te tinte yuwa ma chwe madhu na rang reya ya ma kaba ke kasi pe kawe tha mangpo ndusin debi ina ya reya mevres rang zogres te.
Of course, when we say that we will become Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha eventually, that statement is based upon you know, the assumptions that we will pursue the spiritual paths leading to you know, such goals. Of course, you know, if we simply kind of think, like, you know what, oh, that's really wonderful, everybody will eventually become a Buddha, so okay, I don't need to do anything anyway, somehow eventually, whenever that is, I just kind of automatically become a Buddha. No, nobody automatically becomes a Buddha. There's no automatic system that, you know, operates here. You know, we have to, of course, I mean, rationally speaking and common sensely speaking, that we have to make efforts to cultivate the path that connects us to the complete enlightened state. And based on that kind of understanding and assumption, we say that eventually each of us and everybody can become a Buddha.
That the garden is in a Ransu and the Sanji Raya, the Sanji Savant, the Tamil Sanji, the Nuru Yinchin, Rory to the Sanji Tamil Yajas, including the mosquito.
So, I mean, how can we say that eventually everybody could become a Buddha? Is because that everybody has what we call the seed of enlightenment or the potentiality to be a Buddha. including, as Krishna, you know, spoke in English, mosquitoes are the smallest of the insects.
So, in the that the sovereign the two members of the near draw the chant and Google was Gurus, that Gary Gurus and that Devata, and then he came with the Sanju Sentinel, that Chigurus.
So, that being said, that every sentient being, including humans, you know, have the seed of enlightenment, you know, and that enables all of us to become Buddhas eventually. But then, of course, we need to activate and nurture that seed of enlightenment. So that's why all the practices and the paths that we talk about, you know, such as cultivating faith in the three jewels, cultivating great love, great compassion, bodhicitta, and wisdom, all of these are, you know, in a sense, like a conditioning factors with which we can activate the seed of enlightenment, nurture it, and bring it to the state of fruition. In other words, that we need to prepare our mind, you know, so that it is very conducive for the seed of enlightenment to germinate and nurture that, you know, seed until it, you know, it reaches its fruition state. So this is like, you know, like preparing a field, the soil, you know, for the good seeds that you want to plant in them, and you will have nice crops. In the same way, we see, metaphorically speaking, our mind is like a field that needs to be prepared well so that the seed of enlightenment can be planted in our mind, and it can germinate in our mind, and then it can, you know, grow into enlightenment.
Very nice. That Gitin la tabi seven yorvas, seven nej, seven tandru, seven, ta karese gurete, tini seven yorvas, seven ti yiti meni ta, ye ene ta, les roma kini pel tabu yorvas.
So when we look at the, you know, ordinary, you know, processes by which things grow, right, we could grow maybe wheat or barley or flowers or whatever, you know, it's not just enough to have seeds, because we need to find fertile soil. We need to prepare the soil, you know, properly for, you know, for different seeds.
So that the thing that any sovereign that the any sign is a symbol thing to that church is you know the religion and the amount of past that ni that the chain cargo is na to go go are lu go go are chu go go are the mena Saben ki pisal ne patala tam ne te chen ta tro de mena kabe pa de de ne shig mar was.
So even in terms of growing ordinary crops or things, you know, barley, wheat, rice, you know, flowers, and you just mentioned it, so we need good seeds. I mean, that, you know, without good seeds, nothing grow. We know that. That's a fact. Now, we also need to prepare soils or the lands and make it very fertile, because fertility of the soil is very important for the growth of things. And then we put the seeds into the soil. Well, that itself is not enough. Now we need to provide other favorable conditioning factors for the seeds to germinate. So we have to provide the right kind of atmosphere or the heat, or that we have to use you know, good fertilizers for the growth of the seeds. We need to water, supply the water. So we have to do so many things. Now, otherwise, simply putting seeds into the soil is not you know, going to do much, right? I mean, we can put a seed in a soil, and without providing all those other favorable conditionings, it may remain there for, you know, a long time, but nothing might grow.
When I think around to Sanji is serving the two members shape on the Karigu, isn't it? Sanji Chula, Ali Tevashi, Ani Tevashi, Sambashi, Gombashi, Tesam Gonson, Hirazumbuti, Ani Ti Trosh, and Sanji Gombatogu, is
So that being as an example, so for us what we need to understand is that we do have a good seed, you know, in our mind, the seed of enlightenment. And now what we really need to do is prepare our mind properly, make it conducive so that the seeds can, you know, germinate in our mind. And in order to activate and nurture the seed, we need to provide favorable conditioning factors. So that's why we need to cultivate, you know, faith in the three jewels. We need to engage in the study or listening to teachings. We need to contemplate the meaning of the teachings. We need to meditate on the teachings and the paths. So through this listening, contemplation, and meditation, we cultivate different levels of wisdom. Wisdom that arises from listening to teaching, wisdom that arises from contemplation, wisdom that arises from meditation, all these different levels of wisdom and other paths that we cultivate are, you know, they're conditioned, they're favorably conditioned, you know, the growth of a seed of enlightenment in our mind. So now I hope that you understand, you know, how important it is for us to study and practice Dharma, listen to teaching, and contemplate and meditate on the teachings. Because what we study is not something disconnected with the practice. What we study is also a favorable condition to activate the seed of enlightenment in our mind, to nurture it. So therefore, through study and practice, to use the modern language, or through traditional language, through listening and you know, practice, that we are able to activate and nurture the seed of enlightenment in our mind.
Shandru te kechimbo, shandru kechimbo. Te thola ni shandru semse te kechimbo. A teni shandru. Shandru ta thoma shandru nanda jirse bi thapsi. Teni na ni rembe rembe shandru sen da tongi tumi kheran jirse bi thapsi. Yala tenzu le te ni ane remba gi da lamya dre ni ni sanje komba thogu ta tenzu ha kong duwas.
So the bottom line is this, that we must you know, understand and keep this in our mind, that we need to begin with the practice of refuge. We need to cultivate, you know, this refuge in the three jewels, so that our practice of refuge is pure and correct. And then based on that refuge practice, we cultivate, you know, great love, great compassion, bodhicitta, the wisdom gone beyond, and other paths. And so then based upon these paths that we are able to advance on the levels and the paths leading to complete enlightened state. So that is the process, you know, we have to go through and by which we can become enlightened beings eventually. So these are some of the things I thought are very, you know, useful to both myself and others to think about and to consider. And so, you know, I spoke on these things as like a preliminary teaching before I return to where we left off in the wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Advices. Yeah.
Ta kasang tinsab shige na gihi poto walas gihi ya pushad kandi chusad gihi poto wasi gihi poto wala ne changcha bonsul ji danga khube ta ya ki danga ki naro na khu gas kandi da ning ba ji chang ane chaz ta ti yu ane gihi poto wala ta ndi ki ane mi ki ta ya ane
So we are in a text where it says that you know, someone from certain region, whatever that is, but we don't really need to be too much concerned with who came from where. But he basically requested for an instruction from a great Kadamba Geshe by the name of Geshe Potowa.
That
So basically he asked Geshe Podhava on what are the most important things to put into practice.
Da Podhava ke ni ma ksu te de calendar do sre ta. Chejis da chrankis kyo mata ba mondu sometimes. Ani are ali chrank ani kyo mata ba ani mondu gom gres ta somse de sam tong gres ka namre.
Geshe Podhava told him that he should, he should do a lot of contemplation of impermanence, death and dying. He said, just go and repeatedly reflect on death and dying and impermanence.
That the young, you might think he would say, but then you sometimes didn't do Maris.
So reflecting or meditating on death and dying and impermanence is not simply thinking that, one day I'm going to die, one day I'm going to die, one day I'm really surely going to die. But that's not, all. What is perhaps more important is to understand the uncertainty of time of death. And that's really more important in some sense to consider, that we really don't know when we are going to die. And so that should motivate us to connect to and to pursue spirituality. So we really need to, remind ourselves about the transient nature of life, that we get up in the morning, and then we really have to tell ourselves that, would I be lucky enough, to be alive by this evening or night, and say that I can go to bed. Anything could happen in between, and that is very possible. So we have to really remind ourselves about such transient nature of our life. So we have to really consider the possibility that this morning, I was lucky to get up and, eat my breakfast, but I'm not sure whether I will still be alive to be able to, eat lunch, a little later time. So we have to, challenge our own sense of grasping at permanence of life, that we really remind ourselves and try to make it more intense. And maybe by the noon I could have lunch, but then I really wouldn't know whether I will be alive in the afternoon or in the evening. So we have to tell ourselves that, I have done a lot of grocery shopping, so I might do one. But then, I can't be sure whether I will be there to enjoy them, or somebody else will enjoy them. Or we buy a lot of clothes, or even the clothes we are wearing right now, we can't be sure whether at a later time, whether we will be wearing the same clothes, or the clothes does not belong to us anymore, and it belongs to some other people, that it has to be given to others.
ane ta sangi ane dorose eji cha mshavi ngepa yama ta kandishe yungsam.
So right now, you know, we are a breathing and live human being with names. But tomorrow we don't know whether we will be still alive with our names or we will be simply declared as a dead man or a dead human being. So right now, you know, we have such a, you know, very little sense of tolerance with any pain and suffering that if should someone poke us with, you know, a little bit of burning incense stick, you know, we cannot tolerate even that much pain. But then we can be sure that once we die, we could be, you know, cooked in the boiling, you know, water or the liquids in the unfortunate states of rebirth. And what can we do then? And right now, you know, we can't imagine being buried under the ground, but a day will come that we will be either buried or burned. So all these things we need to remind ourselves so that we challenge and counteract our sense of permanence.
Tangde zupo de cha kimbe kibe shene pe tele pe cha to ane cha to tende shen shigur de nyama ki telal jujure asamta kadin jujus.
And right now, I cherish this physical body so much that I do everything to protect it so that, you know, it doesn't experience extreme heat or cold, or we just provide all the necessities to make our body very comfortable. And we are so, attached to it. But a day will come that this body couldn't be taken care of, and it will have to become a dust.
Burning. Then.
So the way it becomes a dust is, you know, if you burn your dead body or buried it, one day it will become a dust, right? That's the process. And then let's say if it's, you know, we follow the tradition of burying, you know, body under the ground, well, after 100 years, you know, that it won't be there. You see, it has completely become nothing. So we kind of remind ourselves in many different ways about the transient nature of life. And now you could ask me, you know, what's the point of doing that? You know, what's the benefit? So if we really, remind ourselves of the transient nature of life, that death is possible any minute or second, then what happens is that we really, being aware of the transient nature of our life, death and dying, that we find it really much easier to stop creating negativities. So when we really developed acute sense and awareness of that death is possible any time, in other words, the time of death is uncertain, it could hit us any moment, then I think it will become much easier for us to be able to abandon negativities and stop doing negativities.
And
from complementary point of view, that we will find it much easier to engage in positive actions. Of course, we don't mean that as we engage in positive actions, everything will be smooth and, you know, kind of a difficulty at all. But whatever difficulties come on our way, you know, we are very determined we are very courageous, you know, to pursue, to face them, and in that sense, it will be much more easier for us to engage in positive, wholesome actions.
当然，你不做，你等多些。他那七万没到吧？嗯，那些年没个，但那些年没有三百九十岁数呢。
So then Kesha Bodhava goes and explains that on top of that, meaning after reflecting on the uncertainty of time of death, then on top of that or additionally, we should repeatedly cultivate or meditate on love and compassion.
Mm.
Kesha Bodhava really did not say just meditate on love and compassion. He said mandukom, meditate on them, you know, repeatedly or many times. So it's not enough to meditate on them once or, you know, a couple of times, but we really need to consistently meditate on and cultivate such attitudes.
He jula shena sunta, shambata hingi rangjula sheva yinna, rangjula sheva yinna, and the senji jitun sheva la, and kaju mepa chiyong res kanon.
So as a result of cultivating love and compassion in our mind for sentient beings, by the power of this, positive attitudes, you know, we will find it again much easier to dedicate ourselves for the benefit of sentient beings, to benefit and help sentient beings.
That the people are not paying social product in the yuan. That social run a chebe, put in the yuan, the any tender dribble at that. Any tea tender dribble, any Kali Kapa Kalishun, as a Kali do some Samba Yamaravas. Kali is called Shambi Shambata.
So what we said earlier was that as we cultivate love and compassion for other sentient beings, by the power of this positive attitude, it becomes easier for us to face difficulties on our way to benefit and help sentient beings. Now the example given here is that of how good parents they could easily sacrifice and dedicate their lives for their children. The child is born into the family, and so they have so much love, for their child, and they care so much about their child, which is compassionate feeling, that the parents, they go to great extent to face difficulties and make sacrifices, and it all seems really easy, relatively speaking, for them to do such things for their child because of their love and compassion.
Shamba the Hingi Mandu Gom said, Ta Gontan de Mahina Gom Jumeber, Ta Gonda Chigurus.
So Kesha Bodhava says that, we should repeatedly meditate on great love and compassion. So I think it's really, important to talk a little bit about how to cultivate them. You know, without knowing how to cultivate them, simply we just go on and say, okay, so that's what we need to do, I think doesn't cut it.
That Shamba Gondi Chani. Shamba gondi chane senje tam chile mene sa ris ma chepe ta ris keju mare ta keju yo mare de ngaye drai pa pi hu shamba gong me sama drende che ju mare ris ma chepe senje tam chile mene ani dewa ta dina ke mare dembre che chi sama che go.
In order to cultivate great love or mahamaitri for sentient beings, of course, we have to take all sentient beings without leaving anybody out of the whole, out of the whole category, if you will. And we should not be biased towards sentient beings that, oh, these are my friends, or these are the people I know, or the beings, and those I really don't know, strangers. So there's nobody to be discriminated against or left out. But we think about all sentient beings as our focus, and then sincerely wish them to be happy. And so we cultivate positive thoughts such as how nice it would be if all sentient beings find happiness. May they find happiness. So through such thoughts, we are cultivating great love for sentient beings.
That's saying the thing. Saying it, tongue, drunk, dying, chill, pay, devil, the shivers, and just some tongue.
So from the bottom of our mind, we have to really show the care for all sentient beings, you know, regardless of whether they have been our friends or strangers or enemies. We do not see them in all those fashions or discriminate against them. From the bottom of our heart and mind, we truly wish beings to be happy. So now to cultivate great compassion, again, the focus is the same. We focus on all sentient beings, literally. Nobody to be left out, nobody to be discriminated against. But the subjective aspect of great compassion is different from the subjective aspect of great love. When we cultivate great compassion or Maha Karuna, we focus our mind on all sentient beings characterized by different types of suffering or pain, and then we sincerely wish them to be free from the state of suffering. So the subjective aspect of great compassion is we wish sentient beings to be free from their problems or their suffering. So it would be good if we understand how both great love and great compassion have the same focus. That is to say, all sentient beings constitute the focus of both great love and great compassion. But where do they differ is in terms of the subjective experiences. When we talk about great love, its subjective aspect is wishing all sentient beings to be happy, to be endowed with happiness. But when we think in terms of the subjective aspect of great compassion, we wish all sentient beings to be free from suffering. So great Gajit Boshava says here that if we do cultivate such great love and great compassion in our minds, then by the power of these positive attitudes, we will be able to put up with difficulties and challenges on our way, and relatively speaking, it would be easier for us to benefit and work for sentient beings.
So
So additionally, Geshe Bodhava says, meaning that he already talked about the need to meditate repeatedly on death and dying and impermanence, especially the uncertainty of the time of death. Need to repeatedly meditate on great love and great compassion, etc. And additionally, in addition to them, he says that we need to repeatedly meditate on the ultimate nature of phenomena that is called emptiness.
No, no. That tomba ni gondi tani ganga ni chene mebre samne petni sam chanju amar tisenal ketal hungur.
So as we meditate on emptiness, if we simply think that, oh, you know what, everything is empty, meaning nothing exists at all, that is a complete error or a wrong thinking. Now we have fallen into the extreme of annihilation or nihilism. Emptiness is the ultimate mode of existence of all phenomena. In other words, when we ask the question, you see, how do phenomena actually exist? What is their final mode of existence? What is their ultimate nature? If we ask those questions, then our answer to the question is emptiness. So emptiness is, the ultimate characteristic or the nature of a phenomena.
Oh, no. That didn't really any tomba in tonda hako was. Chew the tomba in tomba see at the pay, never rank at Dang Huby was. That's all the maybe something to you, Amar. Chew the tomba melu the hako was.
So it is really essential for us to understand what kind of emptiness we are talking about. Empty of what? Because I already told you that if you simply think that nothing exists at all, you know, as if the world is empty, meaning nothing exists at all. But that is the wrong meaning of emptiness. You know, we are, annihilating the existence of all phenomena. That's the wrong, that's an error. So we need to ask, you know, what do we mean by emptiness? What are we talking about? What, empty of what? If phenomena are emptiness, what are they empty of?
That major good country in the Major the tomba him, but tomba the carrier tomba is in a rangish tubach and mabby him race. Rangish tubach is a two conducting in a rangish tubach, two corangum, and it's a tubach and yamaris. The major trees.
So, what phenomena are empty of is what we call objective existence or inherent existence, rangshinji meba. Okay? In other words, that nothing exists from its own side or in and of itself, objectively. Nothing exists from the side of phenomena. So that kind of existence is not there. So phenomena are empty of that kind of existence called objective existence or inherent
existence.
And I believe that those who have studied with me for a long time, so they probably remember this, and I often mention that when we go through Heart Sutra, Prajna Paramita Hridayam Sutra, and we find many statements such as, no eyes, no ears, no nose, no this, no that. There are so many no's. So what are we really talking about, with the use of such language, no eyes, no ears, so on?
So
we have to ask the question to ourselves that we know eyes and ears and nose and all these things exist. So what is really meant by no eyes, no ears, and no nose, and no this and that?
Since that, you just got it, na. What is it? Man, to be part of something, make the idea.
So what really exists is just mere terms and concepts. In other words, phenomena simply exist as mere terms and concepts. That's all there is. There is no inherently existent eyes. There are no eyes existing from their own sight. They are simply mere terms and, you know, how should I say, conceptual thoughts have imputed the terms eyes onto their basis. And that's all. So we can think of every kind of phenomenon. You know, when we categorize phenomena into many different ways, we can talk about what we call composite phenomena or produced phenomena. So when we talk about produced phenomena or products, of course we can talk about how, you know, these have been produced by causes and conditions. When the causes and conditions come together, then the things are produced. Yeah. But in the case of non-composite phenomena or unproduced phenomena called vimacce, well, we cannot talk about causes or conditions here, but we can talk about, you know, the sense of relativity here, how they exist in relation to some other things. So that's why, you know, we need to understand the different meanings of what is meant by, you know, dependent arising, relativity produced by causes and conditions, and imputed by terms and concepts, and so on. Unproduced phenomena or non-composite phenomena are posited in relation to phenomena which are composite or produced. So without composite phenomena or produced phenomena, there cannot be, you know, unproduced phenomena. As great Nagarjuna states in his fundamental wisdom treatise called Mula Madhyamika, and Kesala quoted the lines from his memory, he said, you know, if produced phenomena couldn't exist that way, how could the unproduced phenomena exist in that mode? So as we meditate on the ultimate nature of phenomena, we have to consider the concept of what we call dependent arising and relativity. You know, how things are produced by causes and conditions, or how things, even if they are not produced by causes and conditions, because they couldn't be, but how they exist relatively, in a sense, in relation to some other things. So first we have to make efforts to understand dependent arising or prasit samutpat, tenjung, because dependent arising is used as reasoning to establish emptiness. So if we don't understand dependent arising, then we won't be able to understand what emptiness is. Great Indian master Acharya Chandrakirti states elsewhere, and Kesala quoted the lines from his memory, he said, with this reasoning of dependent arising, one can cut through the network of distorted views or perceptions. In the sutras on dependent arising, it is said that because this exists, that exists. Because this has been produced, so that has arisen.
Rimbolin, Tunguda, Tungulin, and that Rimbutas Yavin, Tinikananda was.
And great Nagarjuna, in his precious garland or Ratna Avali, also states that because, you know, of tall, we can pass it short. Because of the short, we can, you know, talk about tall. So tall and short are posited in relation to one another. So through many different ways of the reasons that we should try to gain insight into emptiness, the ultimate nature of phenomena. So if you understand it, so what's the benefit, if you ask now? So if we do realize emptiness correctly, then we will be able to abandon all kinds of misconceptions or distorted perceptions. So I think that's a good place to stop today, and can come to show you that.
Churan so sometime mambo chong sumas. Ne chamba tambo chamba mataba gongo bata. Nimba chamba chamba ta nyinge gongo bata. Sumba ani tomba ni gongo bi junsi ta tunzo sebo kira song sumas.
So I believe you have got enough things that you can meditate upon. Geshe Bodhaba talked about the need to meditate repeatedly on the impermanence, death and dying, especially the time of uncertainty of death. Then he talked about the need to repeatedly cultivate great love and great compassion. Then he talked about the need to repeatedly meditate on the emptiness. So I think we have talked about a lot of these things that we all can reflect upon and meditate on.
No.
I can't see.
Oh yeah. Ani tak ni ki tak chige chin do.
No sir.
Ani te kare sa te.
Okay, ne pa chue dan shak chue chi dong a shak chue lam long yo chi sa. Hello.
My comma. Okay. My comma si te kin do tin jila.
No sir, okay. Kong par wenge.
A tong sai ko.
Kong no sir. Then again, so prayer have been requested for, I think the name Geshe-la said it there, because I don't have the name, so I don't want to make the mistake of saying the name wrong. So the person who passed away, McCorma or something, that's what I heard through the system. I have been given a name here. My prayer has been requested for Mai Wu for successful surgery and recovery from surgery. No, scam.
Oh, no. Is that it? Madam Jaguruba?
Not again. So we have prayer request for someone who passed away and someone who is dealing with health issues, and of course there are others whose names are not with us, but we have to think about all of them. And what we are going to do is, as always, we are going to invoke the great compassion of Avalokiteshvara or Chenrezig, Buddha of Compassion, and then we are going to recite his name mantra, the essence mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, and dedicate them for them.
Don't go to the
So I'm just reminding you of the coming, you know, Tibetan, Vietnamese, I believe Chinese New Year. That is on the February 7th, Thursday. It's the first day of the New Year. We call Losar, and as always, you know, we try to have a simple ceremony to observe it, and at 7 a.m. in the morning. So everybody is welcome to the ceremony, and we will do prayers for the long life of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and maybe Geshe La. I say maybe because I don't know, and for the world peace. And then a simple breakfast will be served, and then after that, you know, you could go to work and go to school, and then. I asked right now with the Geshe-la because I didn't have information, you know, what about the Sunday right after that? Because Thursday is the first day of Losar, but then the Sunday would be the fourth day if anything is happening. Nothing is happening, so Sunday we will have teaching as usual. Okay.
Sir, you may need to.
Then the Sunday, I think there will be, I think in the morning, people who take...
6 o'clock.
People who you know, would like to take 1 day Mayana precepts, you know, you can come to you know, the temple on Sunday at 6 a.m. in the morning to do the 1 day Mayana precepts, and then we will have the regular teaching later. That's all I have. Let us dedicate our collective merit for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and other holy masters, you know, live long, and may the sacred body, speech, and mind mandalas of His Holiness the Dalai Lama remain unharmed by the malicious intentions of both humans and non-human beings. And may all His visions and dreams for the sentient beings, you know, come true. And may other holy beings also live long and be successful in their holy activities. By the power of our merit, May all spiritual communities and practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. By the power of marriage that we have gathered together this morning, may it contribute to the purification of the two types of mental obscuration along with their seeds in the minds of all mother sentient beings in our own minds, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Color's good, isn't it?